Now this morning we are continuing our summer series of adventures in Acts. But before we discover who is on an adventure in Acts today and what happens to them, I want to tell you about a different adventure. Now this adventure was a little bit more recent than the one in Acts. It took place 74 years ago in October 1943. And the adventurer was known as G.I. Joe. Now, it was during the Second World War, and British troops were trying to advance on the German-held Italian town of Colvivecchia. In an effort to weaken the German position, the infantry ordered an aerial bombardment of the town by the Allies. Then, on October the 18th, 1943, the German resistance fell and British soldiers took up positions inside the town. Great news, you might think. But what would happen now? The town was due to be bombed in half an hour. Quickly, a panicked message was sent to the headquarters. But the troops were unable to phone or radio through. There was obviously no internet, no email, no WhatsApp. And so they sent a message with G.I. Joe. I've got a picture of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe is the one on the right. And they sent a message and tied it to his leg. G.I. Joe flew 20 miles in 20 minutes. And he arrived at the headquarters as the bombers were taxiing along the runway. He arrived just in time to cancel the operation. G.I. Joe delivered his message, and as a result, he saved the lives of thousands of soldiers. Now today, if we want to send a message to someone, we've got a lot more options available to us. And they're probably, quite often, a lot quicker than G.I. Joe. Often, the method that we use to deliver the message is not so important. What matters is that the message is delivered in the first place, especially if it contains important news or information that can make a real difference to somebody else. Now, our adventures in Acts today tell us of a different messenger, a messenger who enabled other lives to be saved. And it also tells us why it's important for each one of us to be a messenger and how we can help other people as we share good news. Paul and Val are going to come and bring our Bible readings to us.
The first reading is from Acts 16, 11 to 15. So Acts 16, 11 to 15. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where the Jews gathered for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us. Come and stay in our house if you have decided that I am a true believer in the Lord. And she persuaded us to go.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 15. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from death, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved. The scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. This includes everyone, because there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. God is the same Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call to him. As the scripture says, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. But how can they call to him for help if they have not believed? And how can they believe if they have not heard the message? And how can they hear if the message is not proclaimed? And how can the message be proclaimed if the messengers are not sent out? As the scripture says, how wonderful is the coming of messengers who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we're going to continue our adventures in Acts as we hear about Paul's visit to Philippi and how he was sent as a messenger to tell people about Jesus. We're going to be sharing about this in a number of different ways, and everyone's welcome to stay together if there are any tiny ones or maybe under 10s that want to go and do some activities at the table. They're welcome to do that. There will be a bit coming up in a few minutes that they might wish they'd stayed here for, though. But whenever the children want to, you're welcome to take them over. We do ask adults to go over and just keep an eye on them as well, as we're giving our Light Factory staff the summer off. So Paul went on a lot of journeys, and the adventure we're talking about today is the one where he met a lady called Lydia, and Lydia listened to all that Paul had to say and she was baptized. Now, if you look at the verses before the ones that we read today, you discover that Paul had a dream. And in that dream, God spoke to him and told him to go to Philippi and to tell the people there about Jesus. Paul did what God had told him to do. He took the message of Jesus to Philippi, although the city of Philippi itself was actually not the kind of place you would think it would be easy to talk about Jesus. Philippi is now part of northern Greece. But when Paul went there, it was part of Macedonia, and that was separate from Greece. And Philippi was a key city in the area, probably the urban political centre of the eastern end of its plain. It was originally Greek, but now it was a Roman colony. And so its population would have been a mixture of both Greeks and Romans. The official language would have been Latin, but it's likely that Greek would have been the everyday language. So Philippi, imagine what it was like. It was really quite a cosmopolitan place, a city full of hustle and bustle with people involved in business and trade and politics. And this was the city that Paul went to first, to take the message of Jesus into Europe. Now, on paper, Philippi might seem something of a tricky choice to share the good news. A mixture of Greeks and Romans, who spoke Latin and Greek, where people were focused on business and politics. How would Paul tell those people about Jesus? But for Paul, Philippi was a key city to take the gospel to. It was a city that people travelled to and from. A place where people of authority and influence lived and worked. In fact, Philippi was a strategic place to establish a church. See, Paul looked at that city and he saw it from a very different perspective. He saw it for its opportunities rather than for its barriers. And above all, he knew it was a place that needed the gospel, because he knew Jesus could make a difference to the people living there. And everyone deserves the opportunity to know Jesus. Now, the situation that Paul faced is not much different to the situation that we face today. Think again about Philippi, an important city in the country, a mixture of commerce and politics, a city that's multicultural, where people are proud of their roots, where people speak different languages side by side, a city where people lived with different standards and different values as they mixed both their Greek and their Roman heritage. Does it sound familiar? Is that really different to life today? Now, there are times when it can be easy for us to feel the world in which we live is poles apart from the world of our friends or colleagues. We long for people to know Jesus, but where do we start when they seem so disinterested? But you know, we shouldn't be fearful of the authority and the influence that's seen in Chelmsford or London. We shouldn't be put off by the fact that people have different values or different priorities today. The challenge we face is not that different to the challenge faced by Paul when he ventured into Philippi. And like Paul, we are not alone. God is with us, and we need to follow God's leading as we seek to tell other people everywhere about Jesus. Because everyone deserves the opportunity to be able to know him for themselves. If you know something that will be helpful, it's good to share that information with someone else. I have been very grateful in the time I've been here for the lovely people who have recommended to me good car mechanics, good painters, good plumbers, good electricians. Those people that you need to know that when you come to a new area, you just think, well, I don't know who to phone. I don't know who's trustworthy. It's helpful when we've got good information to share it. Now, in the same way, if you've got good news today, you want to share it. You want to put it up on Facebook. You want to tweet it. You want to send it out on WhatsApp. You want to make a phone call. If something good has happened, you want to share the news with everyone. In the same way, when we know the difference that Jesus can make to our lives, then we should be pleased to recommend him to other people, to announce our good news, and to let others have the opportunity to know him too. We should share what we know and what we experience of God with other people, just like we share other good news and other good things like chocolates. And we can do that with anyone. When Paul reached Philippi, the first person that he met and spent time with was Lydia. Now, Philippi, we've already said, was a surprising choice for a location to go to. And Lydia was a surprising choice for the first contact for Paul to make. Firstly, she was a woman. And we know that at that time, women weren't very highly regarded. Lydia was also a Gentile, but she was a God-fearer. Somehow, even before she met Paul and his companions, Lydia had come to recognise in Judaism something very attractive and wise that couldn't be found in the pagan religions. And so now she worshipped God. Lydia wasn't a local woman, she was from Thyatira, and she was a businesswoman. And the business that she was in as a dealer in purple cloth implies that Lydia is likely to have been quite rich. The Romans really valued purple dye. Kings and magistrates wore purple robes, and commanders wore togas that had a purple border. And they valued it because the dye came from a little shellfish, and it had to be collected very carefully, drop by drop. It was extremely valuable. And so Lydia was not just any businesswoman. She was working at the top end of the market. In fact, one commentator describes her as the Karen Millen of Macedonia. So Paul's first encounter in Philippi was with a woman who was a businesswoman, who was rich, and who was a Gentile. Not an obvious choice. And yet Paul sat down and talked to her about Jesus. You see, it doesn't matter if someone is rich or not rich, if they're a company director, if they're working in services, if they're married, if they're single, if they're male, if they're female, if they've got children or if they've not got children. Everyone deserves the opportunity to know about Jesus. Now, in Lydia's case, she already had a knowledge of God. What she needed to do was to understand about Jesus so she could follow him. Her needs were very different to some of the other people that Paul met on his adventures, and different to some of the people that Jesus met. But she still needed to meet with Jesus. Now, there may be times when we're reluctant to share our faith with certain kinds of people because we think, for various reasons, they won't be interested. But Paul's example challenges us to think differently. Now, these verses remind me of the importance of telling people about Jesus in our city, in our school, in our workplace, not just to people who have obvious needs, but to those who in many ways look like they've got life all sorted. Because, you know, at the end of the day, when they drive their cars up their long driveways and the gates swing closed and the door still shuts behind them, Jesus still wants to know them and invite them to his kingdom. It doesn't matter how much security we build around ourselves. We can't buy our health, we can't buy our happiness, and we can't buy our eternal life in God's kingdom. We can't make ourselves exempt from pain and suffering, but we are all invited to share our lives with the living God. And surely everybody deserves the right to hear about that invitation. Now, they might choose not to, but don't they deserve to know that the opportunity is there for them? And yet, as Romans says, how can people believe if they have not heard the message? How can they respond if the message has not been proclaimed? Today we're living a long way from Philippi, but I don't get the impression that Lydia was that different to a lot of the people that we meet day by day. So how can we follow Paul's example and be a messenger for Jesus where we are with the people we see every day? Well, let's think again about Lydia. What did she do? The first thing that Lydia did was to respond to Jesus and trust in him. We heard from that Bible reading that the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying, and she was baptized. Lydia responded in faith. Think back to a moment to G.I. Joe. Where's G.I. Joe gone? I thought he was having his picture up. Let's put G.I. Joe back. Now, G.I. Joe faithfully flew 20 miles in 20 minutes and delivered his message to the headquarters. The planes were on the runway. They were about to take off. In flew G.I. Joe with a message tied to his leg. Now, that message would not have saved anyone if the commander in charge had not acted on it. Fortunately, he did. He read the message, and then he stopped the planes from taking off. Now, in a similar way, hearing about Jesus is not enough. We have to act on what we've heard. Like Lydia did, we have to put our trust in him and allow him to work in our lives. Perhaps for some, that means following that act of faith by choosing to be baptized, just as Lydia did. For others, it's opening up our lives and saying, God, I trust in you. No matter what's going on, I trust in you. Secondly, Lydia became a messenger herself. She told those closest to her about Jesus. How do we know that? Because the Bible said the people of her house were baptized when she was baptized. Just as we would share any other good news, so we should tell other people what Jesus has done for us. And finally, we need to recognize that we're all different people, all with different gifts and abilities, but we can make a difference where we are in the person that we are. You see, the ways that Paul and Lydia served Jesus and shared the good news were very different, because they were different people in different situations. Paul was a travelling missionary. He went from place to place telling people about Jesus. That's what God called him to do. Lydia was a businesswoman, probably quite rich. She told the people of her house about Jesus. And then what did she do? She opened up her home so that Paul and his friends had somewhere to stay and use as a base for the rest of their mission in the city. Both of them made a difference where they were because both of them responded to God's call to them. And the same applies to us. We're all different. We know different people. We have different resources. Some of us have more time. Others have more material things that we can use. But all of us have a responsibility to know God's word to each of us and be a messenger for Jesus so that others can know him too. So this morning, I want to encourage you to join in God's adventure. That adventure wasn't just for Lydia and it wasn't just for Paul. God's called you to be a messenger for Jesus so that others could know him too. Loving God, we want to pray for our friends and family, for those people who we know and love that we've written down on our hands today. Lord, we lift them up to you. We know what a difference you have made to our lives. And we pray for them. We pray that by your Spirit, you would open the eyes of their hearts to see you, that they might know you. Lord, we pray for our city, for the people that work here, for the people that we pass day by day. Lord, we don't know their names, we don't know their situations, but we do know they deserve the opportunity to know you. And we pray for them, that there might be an opportunity for them to hear your word, whether that be through their friends and family, or whether that be from us. Lord, give us courage to speak out for you and be a messenger of hope to our world. And Lord, we do pray for our world and we recognize it is a place so in need of your love and your peace and your justice. So often, the problems that we see in the news seem way beyond our reach and our control, but they are not way beyond you. And Lord, we pray for our world, that by your Spirit, you would act to bring peace and love and justice to reign. In Jesus' name, amen.